Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to consider with you a portion of the Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 19, especially as God says these words to Moses. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and all the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. This is God's word. Please be seated. So what we have here in Exodus chapter 19 is a conversation that took place between the Lord and Moses just before the Lord carved his commandments into stone in Exodus chapter 20. Now the devil would just as soon that you not be privy to this conversation, because what is said here sets in context, in proper context, the commandments of God. And that leads to a correct understanding. And if there's anything that Satan hates, it is a correct understanding of the Word of God. Because the Word of God, rightly understood, is his undoing and it's his destruction. One little word can fell him. So this conversation between God and Moses exposes a huge lie that Satan uses, and uses very effectively, to dupe this world and even many who are Christian. And the lie goes very simply like this, that in the commandments, God is spoiling your fun. You see, when most people hear God's commandments, what they hear is the clank of chains and the rattle of padlocks. What they hear God saying in the commandments is, so help me, if you mess up, I will fry you like a mosquito in a bug zapper. And they come to hate God's laws and God. Which, of course, is exactly Satan's devilish plot. When God says, you shall and you shall not, that ancient serpent is right there close at hand to whisper into our ears. You see what a two-bit tyrant God really is? He doesn't want anyone to have any fun or any freedom ever. Let me show you fun and freedom. It's the same trick that the serpent used on our first parents. Did God forbid you to eat this beautiful, luscious, succulent fruit? What a pity. You know, he knows that on the day you eat that fruit, you'll be like him, able to do whatever you want. But no, God keeps you in chains and padlocks with all of his confining restrictions. Are you sure you don't want a bite? This rotten lie is at the core, I think, of this world's hatred of Christ, who upheld the law and even magnified its demands just in case you started to think you didn't need a Savior. Satan uses God's commandments against God and against us by lifting them out of their context, so that all you hear is a list of rules and regulations that restrict your fun. Just as Satan lifted God's word out of context in the temptation of our first parents, and lifted his word out of context in his temptation of Christ, so he lifts the commandments out of their context to leave us with the impression that God is nothing but a killjoy. He's a party pooper. He's a spoil sport. And that true freedom is to be unshackled from his confining restrictions. And anyone who upholds the commandments, as did Christ, will be hated, as was Christ, for trying to impose restrictions on human freedom to be and to do whatever we darn well please. You know, they say a little information is a dangerous thing. And you see this all the time in movies and television shows when they use a narrative device that's called out of context eavesdropping. And that's when a character overhears a conversation, but lacking the full context of the conversation, jumps to entirely a wrong conclusion about what they heard. So for instance, in the first Shrek movie, who saw the first Shrek movie? I said, okay, alrighty. In the first Shrek movie, maybe you remember this scene, Shrek is just about to confess his love to Fiona, walking up to her place, when he overhears Fiona telling Donkey that no one could ever love a monster like an ogre. And of course, Shrek is unaware that she's talking about the curse that turns her into an ogre, and of her fear that Shrek could never love someone like her. But lacking all of that context, Shrek jumps to the false conclusion that Fiona could never love him. You see, a little information is a dangerous thing. And never is that truer than when the words of God are lifted out of their context, which is why the devil would just as soon you take Exodus 19 and tear it right out of your Bible and move right on to Exodus 20 so that you will jump to the wrong conclusions about God's commandments and even hate his commandments. But here in chapter 19, in this conversation between Moses and the Lord, we see the commandments in their proper, grace-filled context. This conversation sheds an entirely new light on our understanding of the commandments. So let's eavesdrop once again on this conversation so that we can get a right understanding of God's commandments. God says to Moses, "You shall say to the house of Jacob, and you shall tell the people of Israel, 'You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.' These are the words, Moses, that I want you to speak to the people of Israel." Can you hear God's heart beating in these words? The Lord is saying, "Moses, before I give you the Ten Commandments, before I give these commands to my people, before anything else, I want you to remind them, my people, how I bore them up and out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Remind them, Moses, of their bitter slavery when they were trapped in Egypt with no one to rescue them, nowhere to turn. Remind them, Moses, of the chains that bound them and of the lash and of the cruelty of their taskmasters. They had no hope. They had no future. They had no joy. But I heard their cries, and I saw their tears, and I delivered them. Remind them, Moses, of the 10 plagues with which I fought against their oppressor, and of the Red Sea that opened up for them and drowned the armies of Egypt. Remind them how I provided manna and water for them in the wilderness. Remind Israel that I bore them up on eagle's wings. I rescued them. I saved them. I brought them safely to myself." Moses, remind them. This is the context. This is the context of grace in which God gives his commandments. God is saying, "My people, I love you, and I have proven to you by my mighty salvation that I want only what's best for you. You do not think, do you? You do not think that I would bear you up on eagle's wings to safety and to bring you to myself only to become a killjoy and a party pooper in your life, do you? Do you trust me that little? But if you will listen to my commands and obey them, you see, you'll be blessed. And among all the people of this earth, you're going to be my treasured possession. You're going to be a holy nation, a priesthood unto me. And you will continue to enjoy the freedom that I won for you. You see, what we learn by listening to the context of the commandments is that these commands of God are not chains and padlocks that restrict our freedom, but they are the hedges that guard our freedom. It is not hard to understand. The same thing is true of our civil laws, the laws that tell you to drive on the right side, not on the left, and to drive at a certain speed are not designed to spoil the fun of driving however you want to drive, but instead to guard your freedom, to drive safely, so that you can enjoy going places. Life is better and life is freer because of those laws. And how much more God wants you to enjoy now and forever the life and the liberty that He won for you in Christ. St. Paul said to the Galatians, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." You see, God bore us up on eagle's wings. We were in bondage to sin. The devil was our cruel taskmaster from whom we had no escape, whose lash day after day, year after year, wounds our lives with strife and violence and thievery and guilt and shame and stress and sadness. And after all of that cruelty, death was our certain fate. We were that people without hope, without joy, and without a future until Christ spread out His wings to be nailed to the cross and to be cut down by these enemies in our place, only to rise up again on the third day in victory over them, sealing for us the forgiveness of our sins and securing a future in glory for all who believe in Him. With those nail-pierced wings, He bears us up to freedom. He brought down Satan in utter defeat, and He brought you to Himself safely through the Red Sea waters of your baptism, and gives you food and drink of the sacrament to uphold you in this wilderness life. And He will bring you safely to Himself in the promised land. He has set us free. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that God, who bore you up so mightily and so graciously on His wings, now lives to spoil your fun, to bind you in shackles like a tyrant? But you see, the context of salvation, of grace, of the cross, shows you how ludicrous it is to think that God lives to put a wet blanket on your fun. But the cross of Christ proves that God not only wants to gain your freedom, but He also wants to guard it. Life under the grace of the cross and under the guidance of the commandments is a better life by far, and freer. And that's why when the rest of the world hates God's law, when the rest of the world understands the law to be chains and padlocks, the psalmist says this in Psalm 119, Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. Given this context of the cross of Christ, do you need to rethink some of your attitudes about God's commandments? Let me just touch on a few of them. If you've been lax in worship, devotion, Bible study, or prayer, if you've permitted golf, gardening, sports, and leisure to interfere with your glad hearing of the Word of God, if you have been sexually impure, cohabiting before marriage, pornography, lust, innuendo, filthy jokes, if you are given to stealing, cheating on your taxes, lunch breaks that last too long, laziness at work, a failure to repay a debt, if you have a hard time honoring those God has put in authority over you, rebelling against dad or mom, cursing the king instead of praying for him, disobeying the rules of the road, if what you do and say hurts other people, whether in person or their reputation, you may think that you are living in freedom, free of all of these shackles of God's law, but it's a lie. These things make you a slave again, and they draw you away from that true freedom that is your baptismal birthright in Christ. In Christ, God brought you to in safety to Himself on this holy mountain, this Zion, His church. He bore you up on eagle's wings to salvation and safety in His kingdom. He does not want to spoil your fun. But as one who lives under His grace and under the cross of Jesus Christ, trust God. Will you trust God that obedience to His commandments is a blessed life that guards your freedom, that gives you true joy, and that makes your life a powerful witness in this world? So today, let's say with the children of Israel, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Except unlike Israel, let's actually do it. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.